When I go to speak at these horticulture industry conferences about you guys, I am always blown away by how little, as the consumer, we understand about the hard work that goes into getting plants into our hands and on our windowsills. There is so much that goes on behind the scenes at the garden center that we don't know about, and I am committed to having more people on this podcast to peel back the curtain of the horticulture industry and help us better understand. How do our plants get to us? I think it's so fascinating. My jaw is always on the floor when I learn about this kind of stuff. And Jessie Jacobson is a friend of mine. I've known her for multiple years. She's the owner of Tonkadale Greenhouse in Minnetonka, Minnesota. And Jessie is a shining example of what a passionate, multi-generational family business can look like. So without further ado, let's dive in with Jessie from Tonkadale. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hello, plant friends. If you're new here, welcome. My name is Maria, and I'm here to help you care for plants successfully and grow joy in your life while doing so. And if you are a returning guest, welcome home. I'm so honored that I get to be part of your plant parent journey. And today's conversation is the coolest. I really want to help the plant customer, consumer understand the passion that goes into this horticulture industry. I'm lucky that I speak at a lot of these industry conferences, usually about you, like about the modern day plant parent. And it just always blows my mind at how little we know. And even me, like I have a podcast, I'm technically in the hort space, but I still don't know so much about the industry that brings us the plants that we love so much. So this year, I hope that I can get more guests like Jessie today to kind of pull back the curtain on understanding how plant shops and independent garden centers even work, like how the business works, right? In case you might be interested in having one yourself. Jessie's story is particularly special because there's multiple generations of her family involved in it. Before we dive in, I wanted to say a quick thanks to our new Patreon supporters, Jade E, Sarah B, Luanda DS, and Destiny W. Thank you, friends. Thank you for supporting the podcast on Patreon. If you don't know, there are multiple different levels on Patreon that get you all sorts of cool perks, from bonus content to exclusive merch, to even one-on-one plant coaching with me. That's on demand. It's a pretty cool offering. So if you are interested in supporting the podcast and helping me bring this show to as many ears as possible, you can go to patreon.com/growingjoy. Jessie has an amazing story. We have such a great conversation. So I think I'm just going to dive in, plant friends. No other housekeeping to share as of now. So here's Jessie. Jessie, welcome to Growing Joy with Plants. So excited to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me. I've loved your podcast since you started it, and it's been so exciting to meet you in person and now finally be on the podcast.
I know. We've been Cultivate friends now for a couple of years, and I've always admired the company that you're building, but also your social media presence. You have such a fun Instagram, and I feel like, especially for an independent garden center, a lot of independent garden centers struggle with social media, and I feel like you do such a great job. So it's so fun to dive into the person and the family behind the account and the garden center. So for those who might have not have heard about Tonkadale, please introduce yourself and tell us about your incredible family business.
Sure. Well, Jessie Jacobson. I live in Minnetonka, Minnesota, which happens to be where Tonkadale is also located. So Minnetonka is a suburb of Minneapolis, about 12 miles west. So easy peasy from downtown Minneapolis, or you know, much of the area. We have a lot of Tonkas. We're Tonkadale in Minnetonka on Tonkawood Road. And there's Lake Minnetonka.
Tonkawood Road?
Yes. It's a lot of Tonkas.
So where did Tonkadale come from?
Well, I think my grandfather, so we'll start from the top. Do you want the history lesson, the quick version?
Please, yes.
So Tonkadale started by a gentleman named Bob Anderson. Bob Anderson worked for the Bachman family. Bachman's is a multi-location garden center in the Minneapolis area as well. He went off on his own in the late 40s. Tonkadale was started in Minnetonka in 1947. It was basically like farm fields. So this is when people are homesteading in the area. And he started as an African violet breeder. He was really interested in all kinds of African violet cultivars and is known for breeding like 200 or so different varieties, which is pretty cool. So from there, like a lot of garden center origin stories, you kind of start with your niche, whether it's truck farming, you know, like your vegetables and produce. I think maybe the Bachman family started that way because they owned a lot of land. Well, we're in South Minneapolis, we might have to verify that. And then he expanded into bedding plants. So bedding plants are like annual plants that you put in the ground. So it would have been things grown by seed and patients, begonias, all that sort of thing. And then I think probably segued into roses and other things. In the 70s, 1978, my grandfather purchased the business. And his intention was to have this business available for my uncle to operate after he was done with school. He was interested in going to horticulture school at the University of Minnesota. He was injured in a car accident. Traumatic brain injury, which made it, you know, nearly impossible for him to take over and run a business, but he continued to work in the business, propagating plants until 2007. His health situation changed. He's still living today. He lives across the street in a group home, actually. La, 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 la. All these years, 1978, you go to the late 90s. They rebuilt Tonkadale. It was kind of like a bunch of different hoop houses with a weird barn. They had a hoop house called the Maternity Ward. That's where the violets were propagated. All different areas. So it continued to grow as, you know, garden center to go to in Western suburbs. Late 90s, rebuilt as a 1-acre greenhouse facility. And then soon after that, my grandfather purchased a growing range in Northwestern Minnesota. So the capability to grow for himself, he was able to move a lot more product, like versus what you can just grow on the tables at the retail space. You're able to trim those tables, you know, and the demand was there. So the growing range helped kind of explode the business. I came on the scene after college. I studied horticulture and biology at the University of Wisconsin, Madison, go better. And then I came back to a family business. I spent a couple of years at the growing range, and then I just kind of worked in every capacity since then. And then we worked on a purchase agreement between 2015 and then April 1st of 2016. I purchased the business from my grandparents, and here we are. In 2024.
Wow. So grandparents, parents, you. So three generations in your family.
Well, it skipped the middle generation.
It skipped the middle generation. Okay.
Yeah, there was involvement in things, but just wasn't the right fit for that generation to.
Got it.
To take it over.
I think the consumer doesn't understand how many family businesses make up the horticulture industry. I feel like an unusual level of family businesses in the horticulture industry compared to other industries. Is that right?
Yeah, it is many, many, many family businesses. I'm trying to think of a few in the area, a few well-known in the Minneapolis area that aren't family businesses. Sunnyside is in Minneapolis, and the owner there worked his way up, purchased the business. The guys at Tangle Time were classmates at the University of Minnesota and started their own business. So there are exceptions to the rule, but there are many, many family businesses, multi-generational family businesses, and even like the biggest growers often have, you know, they're on, you know, fifth generation at this point. I don't even know. And it goes up, 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 up. Yeah.
So can you speak to the difference for the listener who might not understand the grower versus seller situation where you're growing plants, but you're also selling plants? Like you said, there's the greenhouse, but then you're also, I'm assuming, selling plants that you grow and plants that you don't grow. So how does that work?
Well, if you start from the beginning, kind of want to think about how plants are propagated. So you've probably talked about in your podcast before, plants are propagated by seed. It can be propagated by cuttings. So there are propagators and breeders who develop. There are breeders who develop varieties, propagators who continue to produce cuttings and seed. Tissue culture would be another way. Those plants come to market and they're sent to young plant growers. So young plant growers either sow seeds in plug trays, so maybe 100 in a flat, so teeny tiny baby plants, or they stick unrooted cuttings in a liner tray. So plugs are from seeds and liners are from cuttings. Young plant growers grow them until they're rooted out, and then they'll sometimes either grow them on themselves and be a wholesale grower, or they send them to finished plant growers. So we're a finished plant grower where we get liners and cuttings. So baby plants that we put in 4-inch pots, grow them to finish, and then send them to retail. So at a retail garden center, you can either be a grower retailer, grow your own and sell them in your retail store, or like us, grow your own and source product either locally or nationally. And it's kind of a hybrid. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you have your greenhouse where you're growing these pre-started plants, then you're bringing to market. And then you also have your retail floor where you have the plants that you grow and then other things as well.
Correct. Yes. There's lots of vendors.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting. So you mentioned that you got your degree in horticulture. Have you always felt connected to plants because it was in the family and you probably, I'm assuming, kind of grew up around Tonkadale? Like, what does your relationship to plants look like?
Well, I think as a kid, you're just always around it. I mean, I worked in the greenhouse planting baby plants when I was a kid. And I really enjoyed it. You could make 50 cents per plant. So like $40 at the end of the day was a ton of money.
Ton of money.
I celebrated a lot of birthdays at the garden center. My birthday is May 17th, which is like the busiest.
Right. The busiest time.
Can be like the busiest weekend. It's either right before or right after my birthday, you know. So sat on the checkout counters along with eating cake or taking ice cream at the end of a busy day. I cashiered in high school. I don't know if I couldn't get away from it. It was almost like, it's like a pull or a draw. Like once you're in it, it doesn't leave you.
Yeah. It's in your blood. It's in your bones.
I think so. And it's not that I was like surrounded by plants at home and having houseplants and all that stuff. It just was something I grew up with. And then I loved it. Went to college. I thought I was going to major in English or something, but then took the horticulture classes and loved them. Did really well in all of them. They just, I don't know, it's fun. And like learning about plants, and they're just, I don't know, they're really cool. There's lots to learn from like the cellular level all the way up to the giant tree. There's so much to learn. I'm never done.
Yeah. From the multi-generational businesses I've spoken to on this podcast, it also sounds like each generation modernizes the garden center to an extent. And there's like different eras of these different generations of owners. So what has your era looked like? So you've had it for how many years, and what have you been doing to kind of keep it in line with the current times?
Keep up with the times. So it'll be 10 years since April, which is kind of insane. I think, well, when I first came in, I was just like, okay, this is like getting your feet on the ground. I kind of started with a lot of the behind the scenes items. So everything from accounting, we went to branding, employee policies, just like a lot of what I thought about is like creating a place where I love to work, which would then be a place where people love to work, being able to come to work every day and work side by side with employees and be really proud of that. I would say it started with a lot of the behind the scenes work.
Yeah, back end stuff.
Back end stuff that you see it now. You see it in the energy of the store, the customer service, the engagement of the employees, the presentation of the product. But we had to start kind of from the basics, right? So I would say that was a huge shift. And it sounds basic, but other garden centers in, you know, this multi-generational situation, or who are even working in transitions or succession plans right now, like 100% know what I'm talking about. Like it's not easy to make change because it often creates a lot of waves. So kind of modernizing back-end systems, made a rebrand in 2018, new logo, new tagline. Then we went to vision, mission, core values. And that is something I'm still really proud of that we use today in everything from training to how we talk about everyday projects. Helps keep us focused.
So I'd love to ask you about that, because for anybody listening who might be interested in starting a plant shop or garden center, or someone who works at a garden center, what are your mission, visions, values? Like, how did you come about creating them?
Well, I had some help. So I'm not afraid to bring in, I don't like to call them consultants, but, you know, experts who can come in. I had someone come in and help me with my handbook. I had someone come in and help us with the branding, with the mission. There's, I think a lot of time, garden center people, greenhouse people, farmers think like, you got to do everything yourself. You need to know everything. You got to do everything. There's a lot of pride. And I think that can maybe get in the way sometimes. You're going to make me recite our mission. Let's see if we can do it. I might need to pull it up here. Our vision, so the vision is like long range, is to forever be your greenhouse home. So the way that speaks to people is that you you come to Tonkadale, you kind of get hooked. Maybe you start with the indoor plants or a container or veggies. You're hooked. And then you know that that is your home for everything. Greenhouse. You feel like you're at home. You feel the community. And you create kind of this lush space around you, inspired by the things you see at Tonkadale. So our mission is to enrich lives while creating plant-inspired experiences as we connect everyone to beautiful spaces.
So I recently moved, and when I tell you, home did not feel like home until I hung my Wind River Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime. My Wind River wind chimes have really underscored my life for the last couple of years, plant friends, and they have brought me so much joy and peace I can't even explain to you. Whenever I hear them singing throughout the day, I am reminded to come into the present and take a deep breath. It is so relaxing. It is such a mindful reminder, and it is also the most delightful accompaniment to all of my garden time. As we enter this gifting season, Wind River wind chimes make incredible gifts. You can engrave the wind sail on the wind chime with meaningful dates, names, or phrases. I recently got Mama Fiella one for her new backyard reno, and I know she's going to love it because she has been asking for a Wind River wind chime of her own ever since she visited my house and became enamored with the sounds. So gift yourself or your loved ones ongoing moments of peace with Wind River wind chimes. Use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout to get a free engraving on any engravable wind chime. So it's done for you and it's free. Head to windriverchimes.com to listen to all of your different melodious options. The chime underscoring this ad is the one I have. It's the Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime. And use code GROWINGJOY at windriverchimes.com for a free engraving to add a special element to your gift. That's code GROWINGJOY at windriverchimes.com. As summer cools off and we turn to winter, we also turn to our houseplants, right? So as we wind down our gardens, it's houseplant time. And if it's houseplant time, it means it might be potting time or repotting time. And if it's repotting time, it should be espoma time. You see what I did there? If you don't already know, Espoma Organic is a family-owned and operated company dedicated to making safe products for people, pets, and the planet. And they take the guesswork out of potting mix, out of fertilizer by their special potting mixes designed for different types of plants. So if you have succulents and cacti or citrus, you can pop them in their organic cacti mix. If you have normal houseplants, you can put them in their general potting mix. Their general potting mix is what I use for all of my plants. If you like making a chunkier mix, you can mix their orchid mix into their general mix. They have African violet mix. They've got a mix for everything, but their mixes have perlite for drainage, barks and sticks, and even mycorrhizal fungi that help promote root growth and water retention. And lately, I have been sprinkling in, like Salt Bae, a little bit of their Biotone starter plant food, which is plant food that is geared for outside, in with my houseplants, and they've been really liking it. I feel like it's been helping them establish faster. So whatever type of plant you're growing indoors, they have the potting mix for you. And if you are scared of fertilizing, they take the guesswork out of fertilization with their liquid indoor plant food. You literally just put it in your watering can. The cap is a measuring tool. It's so simple and organic and healthy and makes your plants very happy. Whatever you're growing, indoor or outdoor, Espoma has the potting mixes and fertilizers that you need to have the best garden yet. To find out more about their incredible line of indoor and outdoor products, you can go to espoma.com. You can also find your local garden center that has the products there, or you can go to my Amazon storefront that I have like a curated list of Espoma products that I love and use. Thank you, Espoma. I love that.
I got it out.
You did and great. You nailed it. A plus.
I did. I just have to pull it up. So sometimes, you know, you get the words all mixed up. But keeping that top of mind helps with everything from product selection to just everyday decisions. And then going into the core values, I think they're kind of fun. They're kind of fun and funky, like with the personality. Do you want to hear them?
Of course, please.
And we're not really talking about plants. We're talking about people, but the people behind the plants are kind of what make the magic happen. So it's always approachable, obsessed with success, courageous and kind, fun, fresh, and focused. What am I missing? Obsessed with success, ridiculously passionate, always approachable, fun, fresh, and focused, courageous and kind.
I love that.
Yeah. So So
I thought you were going to say obsessed with plants, but obsessed with success. But that's actually better because you want you to be successful in your experience owning or working at the shop. And also you want your customers to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is interesting, though, because it's really interesting to think that, I mean, I think so many people have probably gone to a garden center, gone and bought a couple plants, left, and don't understand the like intent and the intention behind the business that you're purchasing from, and the fact that you've spent this time thinking about this and making sure that your employees like reflect fun and approachable and being fresh and all of those good things. It's so interesting. So what does your day-to-day look like? Like, what does your day tomorrow look like as a garden center owner?
Well, I feel like I finally nailed the weekly routine. I think I'm getting there.
Tell us. I'm sure a lot of people would be very curious to know.
It's a pretty good routine. So I like to get up. So start from the top. I married my husband, Luke, 15 years in September. We have two children. Walter's 13, Margaret's 11. So they're like, so for people, like I don't have little kids that I need to like get out of bed and feed breakfast. They're pretty much
chase around. Yeah.
They're very independent. So they get up, get themselves ready for school or camp or whatever. You know, here to provide for them and stuff. But so I don't have the little kids stuff happening in the mornings, which some people probably do that are my age or any age or I don't know, or you don't have kids. I don't know. But so I get up, I usually like to start my day with coffee at my desk, get through emails, respond to things, kind of plan out the day. I'll do some media work, blog writing. I'm supposed to be visioning, thinking about the future. Not like when I'm on a business that flies open, you know. I usually do a workout around 8 each morning. Depending on the day, I do weight training Mondays and Wednesdays. I bike. I like to do boxing or walk with my husband. I don't know. I'll get back into yoga. I was on a good streak, but that's more for the winter when you know, I'm outside all the time. So workout or movement is really important to me. And then it's meetings in the morning, and then afternoons are usually free for projects and or during the busier seasons, I like to be out on the floor as much as possible. I try to tuck in all my office work. And, you know, once I get to the greenhouse, I hit the ground running and working with the plants. And one of my favorite things to do is merchandising. So I love media and merchandising. So those are the two M's. Those are the two things that are the most fun for me. But then there's like, I don't know, I call it office jail. So a lot of times I'm in office jail, which is just kind of sometimes administrative drudgery. Not necessarily, though. I do really enjoy like everything I touch. One thing that's been really successful this year that is part of my day-to-day are one-on-ones with my leaders. So I'm having one-on-one meetings weekly with each department lead or team lead. I guess that'd be like, if I could give owners or leaders or one piece of advice, managers, would be to have at least a 15 to 30 minute one-on-one with each of your direct reports every week. It's made such a difference in communication, accountability, communicating expectations, and coaching. I love coaching leaders as best I can. That's a big part of the daily routine as well. Nighttime, I save for buying. I do the hard goods buying. So it's like, I switch from coffee in the morning to wine at night or order. I don't know if there's about no safe. That's kind of a week.
So speaking of ordering, like how do projections work? Like how do you know what to order and when? Because gardening is seasonal. So like how do you do that?
You get into routines. And so I've been doing this like almost 20 years. So it's like any routine. It becomes a little bit second nature, automatic. I do have managers that order for their department. So it's divvied up. In a bit, but really what we're looking at is our data. So what sold well, what's new, where can we push more, what did we not have enough of, that sort of thing. Timing, was it ready too early, too late? We're actually in the middle of our annual planning for next spring. So it's what we plan to grow, what we plan to order in that are just annual plants. So that takes us 3 to 4 full days. We have 5 of us on the team working on that right now. And so in growing world, you grow in weeks. So week one is the first week in January, week two, week three, week four, and growing range opens week 8. So that's about mid-February. Turn the heat on, and here are the plants we grow for week 8. They're a 6-week crop. So they're, you know, 6-8 weeks are ready on this date. And you stage it up. You know, you want things ready throughout the month of May. We don't have everything just ready on one day. We want geraniums fresh and available all month long. So you grow them, you start them different weeks, week 8, week 10. We always go on vegan weeks, so 8, 10, 12, 14. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, I'm going to ask you a million more about it because this is so fascinating. And for the listener, it's like, oh, this is how it works. But this really speaks to why people should shop at independent garden centers, particularly for gardening, for outdoor plants, because you're in Minnetonka. That's your city, right? You're in Minnetonka. You know the specific gardening zone. You know what's going to thrive when. So whatever you're growing in Minnetonka, if local people from Minnetonka come and buy that plant, it's already hardened off. It's prepared for your specific environment. Whereas if you're going to a big box store, those plants are grown anywhere and like sold at any time. So that's very interesting.
True. They could be shipped across the country. You don't really know. Yeah. There's lots of reasons why you should check out independent garden centers.
Of course, of course. One of the many.
I think you're just going to get a better plant, too. I mean, we're there giving it the best environment that we can. And that's the inputs, it's everything. So shelf life, timing, it's all about the success of the products that we sell. So if people aren't going to be successful with an old raggedy plant, it goes out the back door, not front door.
Yeah. And what does the seasonality of that look like? Because you were saying May is the busiest, you know, your birthday is the busiest thing. So like, what does each month kind of look like as a plant shop owner? Take us through the 12 months of the year.
Yeah. So in the upper Midwest, it's going to be different regionally, but throughout the industry, May is the busiest month. I would say in the South, it's going to be a little bit more even throughout those spring and summer months. In our area, we do 35% of our annual revenue during the month of May. So it's a huge month for us.
Crazy.
Yeah. 10% of our revenue comes in November, which is holiday time. And then another 10% in June. So 35%, you're already at 55% of your revenue. And then you kind of call the other months your shoulder seasons. So fall, September, October is kind of the ramp up. Early spring, March, April is kind of the ramp up. Those are your shoulder seasons. Like, whoa, I think that's why they call them that. And I mean, still important to get that product churning in your shoulder seasons. It's opportunities to try new things, have events, invite more new different folks into the garden center so that they learn about you and, you know, think of have you top of mind as the place to come for those bigger seasons or bigger buys. But yeah, that's what it looks like in the Midwest.
That's so interesting.
In May, I say like, I only sit down to pee. Like you're just busy.
Oh my gosh.
It's kind of gross. I only sit down to pee. Like that's it.
No, I totally get that. I love that. And then here for that. And also speaks to the stakes of when I was at Cultivate this year, a lot of people were saying May was a really weird year for them this year because so many people got so much rain. And so the stakes of that feel so scary that like if you're making 35% of your income in May and you have a bad rainy May or you have one truck that shows up with all dead plants, the stakes are so high that how do you manage your stress in those times?
Well, Maria, let's see. Exercise? Holding, white knuckling it. No, I think there is definitely no lack of stress. I think some of it is faith, confidence, faith that it's going to work out, confidence. The thing about a perishable product, though, is it's almost like, so if May is 4 weeks, you kind of have, it's kind of 6 weeks. So it either lands a little bit, here's April, here's June, that kind of boom is going to land depending on the weather, when the weather breaks,
right,
when your weekends hit, when the rain comes.
When the frost date, if there's a late frost projected or not.
Yeah, so there is an opportunity to make some of that in June. However, if your plant material is overgrown or spoiled, just like at the grocery store, like if the I don't know, what do you buy on Thanksgiving if the pumpkins are too ripe, they're, you know, you can't sell them and they're no good the day after Thanksgiving. So it's a perishable product. But there are things you can do to slow things down and speed things up as a grower, as a retailer. You can use different environmental controls. If you need to slow plants down, you can turn down your temperatures. You can cut back on fertilizer. You can keep things drier. If you need to speed things up, you change your fertilizer, turn off the heat. So you can...
Because you're almost managing two businesses. You're managing the grower and you're managing the growing side of the business and you're managing the retail side of the business. And so many people only do retail or only do growing. So it's like you have two businesses that you're running at the same time.
Yes.
So I am deep in nesting mode and unpacking mode right now. And I've been going nuts because I've needed to like get a bed and unpack my clothes. But all I've wanted to do is plant up my Crescent Garden True Drop self-watering planters in my new home in Florida. And I am dying to get my new tropical garden set up so I can start growing happy, healthy veggies and flowers in Florida in these amazing low-maintenance self-watering planters by Crescent Garden. You might have heard of these planters. I used them this summer when I was still in New York, and they were so low-maintenance and so chic. I was blown away by the quality of these planters when I actually used them this past summer on my balcony in New York. So the True Drop self-watering feature allowed me to travel for weeks on end in the Northeast climate without worrying about having to water my tomatoes or my tender herbs. It was a lifesaver. Plus, the planter designs are so gorgeous. I'm actually going to put them in my front yard this year because I kind of want to show them off. And I think they look really cute and they might be a fun conversation point with me and my neighbors as a way for them to get to know me and me to get to know them. But the planters are self-watering. They come in every shape, size, color, and budget. And they are perfect for your fall container plantings or for your house plants. If you have moisture-loving house plants or if you travel a lot, these Crescent Garden True Drop self-watering planters are amazing. And I'm really excited to try them in my covered, screened-in porch, my lanai in Florida, and also indoors. Whatever your garden aesthetic, Crescent Garden has the easy-to-use and stylish planter option for you in a wide variety of shapes, sizes, and price points, all made from 100% recyclable materials with a 10-year limited warranty. As a Growing Joy listener, you can get 15% off for a limited time. Visit growingjoywithmaria.com/crescentgarden and use code GROWJOY15 for 15% off. Act fast. This offer is going to end soon. That's GROWJOY15 at growingjoywithmaria.com/crescentgarden. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right house plants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. Why do you do it? What is your inspiration? What keeps you coming out? Like, what keeps you getting out of bed? Like, what keeps you from the tired stress? What keeps you from throwing in the towel? Because this, the other thing that I think people don't understand, and it's why having conversations like this are so interesting, is this is not an easy job. People think, oh, plants, I wish I could work with plants for a living. But like the IGC, Independent Garden Center owner grind is real, and it's really hard work. So what keeps you motivated?
I would say my number one motivator is a belief that what we do adds value to people's lives, adds joy and value. So like you speak to growing joy, that's what we do. That's what it's all about. So if you are adding value, if you're serving something that's bigger than yourself, so the community, the environment, the beauty, the homeowner, increasing teaching, learning, you know, sharing knowledge. When you're serving something that's bigger than you, I feel highly motivated to get up every day and do it. There are really hard days, really hard seasons. I'm not going to lie, like there's no lack of difficult. I also value hard work. I love to work hard. I like the physicality. I think you'll notice a lot of folks in the garden center industry, they're just wired a certain way where movement during work or that being outside connected with nature, that churning change of seasons is really motivating. You'll have a lot of people that are very, like their brain type is very artistic. On our staff, we have people that are talented musicians, talented illustrators, artists, painters. It's really interesting, just like what your core group, what their brains work, I think. And it's a different, It's a certain, it's just a certain wiring. It's that kinetic movement.
Creativity.
It's the expression of, I guess that's why I do it. I love the product. I'm not going to lie. I love the feedback. This is my happy place. Or I come here and I'm having a bad day. Or it's so beautiful in here at the holidays. Or, I mean, it feels good to contribute in that way, right? Yeah. So that's why I do it.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because the product, of course, like you love the product, but you said the product lasts, like you said so many other things. But I feel like anyone in the hort industry, you on the IGC side, me on the education side, I feel like it's the desired effect that you're going for. It's the like impact that the plant material has. It's not necessarily just the plant in the pot. It's what is this plant going to do? Like, what is the result this plant is going to have? And I feel like I struggle with that. Not struggle isn't the right word, but I wrestle with that with this podcast because I'm like, it's mostly an educational podcast because I need to get people caring successfully. Like I need to get people to have the wins, but really I'm trying to just make people happier, like through plants. So that's also where it's important to have the vision, mission, like what you were going back to as well. And yeah, I feel like to the people who work in garden centers, have to be a little more embodied, a little bit more connected, a little bit more creative because they're interacting with plants. Like from a biophilic perspective, they are interacting with plants. Like their nervous system is probably wired a little differently and balanced a little more because of their exposure to the plants, you know? So it makes sense to me that you're like, yeah, these people are cool.
Well, they were pretty rad, actually. Our employees are great. I don't know. I love them.
That's amazing. What about for people who are listening who might be interested in buying an IGC or starting one or, you know, interested in turning plants into their job, maybe getting a job at a local garden center? What are some like mistakes or struggles that you have gone through that you would love like people to learn from you, like learn a lesson from you?
Well, come into it with a growth mindset. That sounds very cheesy, but I think when I was younger, I thought, oh, I learned this in school. I know what that is, or I know, maybe don't assume you know everything.
I think
a lot of humility, like learning by doing is so much of it, learning on the job, being willing to do or try anything. I think like when you're starting out in horticulture jobs, I guess it depends on like, it depends on your level of experience or what your education background is, maybe where you start. But a lot of times folks start out and they might work in a greenhouse and some of the tasks are they can be tedious, monotonous, boring. I don't know. I think it's like a stick with it-ness and just getting involved in you know, doing as many, being willing to do as many different things, obviously with limits. But yeah, don't be afraid to dig in and get dirty, work side by side with the people that have more experience than you. I don't know, put yourself out there.
Yeah. I feel like you mentioned something that I, as an entrepreneur, wish that I learned a lot earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hiring people that are smarter than you to help you be more effective. Like I definitely, when I started this business and podcast, was like, I'm going to teach myself to do everything. And then I was so miserable. And I wish I had learned that lesson, like just hire the consultant to help you do it right the first time and not do it wrong. And then you have to hire someone to fix your mistakes. Like, I feel like that's such a valuable lesson to learn in entrepreneurship.
Rely on experts. There you go. That's a good one.
Be the dumbest person in the room. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm like, I want to be the dumbest person on every call. Like, I want everyone I hang out with to be smarter than me. Yeah, that's so interesting. What surprised you? What surprised you about owning an IGC?
Surprised?
Independent Garden Center.
Surprise. Well, I think there's no lack of surprises. Maybe that's what surprised me. When you think you've seen it all, you'll see something new.
Oh my God. Tell me some of your craziest stories. Then I want to know some crazy stories.
The first one that came to mind is we have a long history of having a cat in the greenhouse. We don't have one right now, but a short time ago, we had a cat named Boots. Boots the cat was kind of territorial and would crouch and hide behind things like a big tree, you know, a big bird of paradise or something. And if little small dogs were visiting, he jumped and attacked small dogs. So there were two occasions where I needed to take care of vet bills for dogs that had been harassed by Boots.
Boots.
I mean, it was like, really, what are we dealing with now? Like, I never thought, like, what? So it's like, do you want to take care of it for the customer? Like, of course, you're like, so sorry. Like, what can I do to take care of this for you? Boots was rehomed. A former employee actually adopted him. And he is the happy, happy cat. So that's surprising. Things like that surprise me. Like something comes up and you're like, wait, what? What just happened? Cool customer story.
Yeah. Like stories that have been with you for a while. Yeah. Or
cool. I mean, our customers are great. I would say 99.9% of them are just amazing. Happy to be there. We're happy to serve them. You know, you make connections with customers. This isn't super specific, but I love it when I hear customer stories from our employees, especially when they're making a connection with customers and it's someone that they'll see on regular or I witness them talking to someone and they're saying, well, how did this work? Or remember when you bought this, like, how's that doing? Or a customer coming back and showing a picture of how their garden turned out or the container turned out. Those are some of my favorite customer stories. Or I don't know, sometimes you'll have those moments where someone comes in and maybe they just want to, they need someone to talk to, or they're having a hard time. They maybe just need to share with someone who's maybe neutral or doesn't know the whole story or whatever. So sometimes they'll have some pretty intense customer shares and you'll end up hugging in the aisle. Like those moments are kind of cool too. Yeah.
That's amazing that your employees know them that to that level. You shared your like high level vision, but what are the next things that you're excited to take Tonkadale to the next level?
Well, I think there's a lot of opportunities with technology. I don't know what they all are. I think there's a huge opportunity to make things easier for gardeners, easier for the consumer. I mean, talking with friends my age, it's mind blowing. Like, how overwhelming and unapproachable gardening can be. And I think, you know, that prevents people. It's like a barrier to entry. So how can we create those opportunities for people to be a part of the gardening community or just enjoy plants without the stress? It's a huge opportunity. I think we're constantly working. I don't know what the thing is that will tie it all together. I don't know. I feel like I should have an aha. Like, here's the answer. Here's what's coming. Here's what's next. I know that customers are super interested in native plants and creating habitat or ecosystems for beneficial insects, songbirds, pollinators. That's been an ongoing trend. We see a lot of excitement when we're putting out information about that sort of thing. Belons have been very popular and exciting. Design work, we do design work with custom containers, helping people entertain in their homes, I think, is also a huge part of what we do. I'm losing my train of thought.
I planted a hummingbird garden this year. And I mean, in the hour we've been talking, like a hummingbird has come, eaten our lantana, like drank from our lantana 3 times. Like it has been one of the most joyful experiences. And I definitely see more pollinator gardening, or for me specifically, hummingbird gardening. But I mean, I garden for the hummingbirds, but then I have a beautiful, like the butterflies come too. You know, I'm not like against butterflies or other insects and pollinators. It's just that I prioritize my hummy boys.
I mean, there's so much crossover and it doesn't have to be just one thing.
Yes, exactly. Well, this has been so amazing talking to you. I want to come see Tonkadale in real life. I want to come. I'm hoping in 2025 or something, I get to come visit because I think that would be so fun.
First, I think you need a day in the life. Like, just come and be a greenhouse worker. Like, unload plants, price plants.
That would be so fun.
Put away plants, water plants. Talk to customers. I think you would love it. It can be really fun and exhilarating. When it's busy.
I would love that. Yeah. So where can people find you in person and where can people find you online if they want to learn more about Tonkadale and follow you and do all the fun stuff?
Sure. Well, Tonkadale, you just need to remember Tonkadale. And then you can find us online, Tonkadale.com, Instagram, Facebook at Tonkadale, and in Minnetonka, Minnesota, 12 miles west of Minneapolis off Highway 7 between 494 and 101.
Very nice. Well, thanks so much for chatting.
Yeah, this was awesome. I had a blast.
Thank you so much, Jessie, for joining me for this conversation. She's so inspiring. I love her so much. If you're in the area, go check them out. They're called Tonkadale Greenhouse in Minnetonka, Minnesota. I hope to get out there one day. Sounds like they're doing amazing stuff. And if you're on social media, she's on Instagram at Tonkadale, just Tonkadale, Tonkadale. And she's in the Instagram a lot. They have a lot of educational content, a lot of funny content. I think their Instagram's great. I'm a follower, so you should go follow them too. Let me know if you make it to the greenhouse. And let me know if you like these styles of kind of horticulture industry interviews. I'd love to bring on more, you know, greenhouse and plant shop owners and learn more about the many different facets of the industry. Let me know if this interests you as well, because Plant Friend, all I do is live and breathe you and how I can help you keep growing joy. Plant Friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Make new new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group. So if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.